it's in the breaking, we come unbound. And it's in the giving, we are found. Yeah, you can barely change.
Welcome to A Medicinal Mind, Wisdom and Well-Being, a podcast dedicated to the telling of authentic stories and the sharing of insightful wisdom, exploring science and spirituality, medicine and Mother Nature. No topic is off limits when it comes to growing our personal understanding and supporting our collective well-being. With your host, Dr. Rob Abbott, a family medicine resident practicing spiritually focused and evolutionarily informed functional medicine, we hope to nourish your being so that you can flourish in whatever the moment has called for you to do.
And I know you try.
In episode 17 of A Medicinal Mind, Wisdom and Well-Being, I engage in a practical conversation with my close friend and fellow functional medicine advocate, Mike Ettlinger. Mike and I first crossed paths after a synchronous email following my guest appearance with functional medicine practitioner, Dr. Michael Ruscio. As you will hear in the podcast, Mike's background is quite unique. However, his personal story of losing his health as a result of an overall unsustainable and less than optimal lifestyle during his college years is one that is becoming much too common in today's world. In our conversation, Mike opens up about his personal journey as a young man seeking to recover his health, searching for answers outside of the traditional medical structure, eventually beginning a path to restoring his wellness, working alongside Dr. Ruscio and his progressive functional medicine practice. In the podcast, Mike outlines some of the most important lessons he has learned from being a patient, seeking to educate himself and find the right functional medicine clinician to meet his needs, asking such questions as, is the practitioner compatible with my needs in this moment? Do I need some encouragement or more of a stern source of external accountability? Will I have freedom to experiment or will things be more protocol driven? And what about my emotional needs? Will these be met or just my nutritional deficiencies? And what is my potential doctor's specific area of expertise? Does it actually match my primary concerns? And of course, money. What can I expect in terms of testing and treatment? Will everything fit into my budget? Mike also offers some incredible insights on how to best prepare for your visit, making sure to honor and prioritize your needs as well as the time of the practitioner. Some suggestions from Mike include outlining very clearly your 2 to 3 primary goals. Get specific, make them attainable, relevant, and time sensitive. Picking 2 to 3 priority areas, symptoms, or perceived dysfunctions that you would like to address. And 3, come prepared with a detailed history of what you have tried up to that visit. Medications, supplements, herbs, diets, or other protocols. Make it easy for the clinician to know what you have and haven't tried, and to what extent. We also discuss some of the often overlooked areas of the healing process, focusing on growth and the many positives that can come from an illness or suffering. Some of the opportunities we discuss include building awareness into what truly nourishes your body, and revealing what hinders its flourishing. How about beginning to cultivate gratitude for your symptoms, seeing them as information and the body's attempt at solving an area of dysfunction and not something to simply suppress. And lastly, we close discussing Mike's dynamic career change as he now pursues a career in health technology and eventually medicine, following his personal dive into functional and ancestral health. Mike shares his recent work developing a food diary app that seeks to aid in one's documentation of overall food quality, allowing an individual to build his or her awareness around food, potentially elucidating a specific food, emotional state, or eating environment that is actually negatively impacting their health. I was so excited to share this conversation with Mike, and I really do hope you enjoy the episode, seeing the real, authentic, and practical side of restoring health and promoting one's flourishing. I am incredibly grateful to Mike for reaching out in the first place many months back, and encourage you to contact Mike from the information in our show notes to hear more about his path and perhaps how you can begin your own journey to restoring your health. I really hope you enjoy the show. Well, Mike, thank you for joining me on the podcast today for what I think is going to be a really insightful and hopefully helpful conversation for many of our listeners. So thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Rob. I appreciate the invite. Never in a million years I think I'd be invited on a podcast, but hey, here I am.
Well, never in a million years did I think I would be hosting a podcast. But, you know,
that's very true. Yeah.
So how about you can step into new waters together in this regard. So
cool. I'm excited.
But in order to really get us going, let's hear a little bit about your background, Mike, and perhaps how we even came to meet and get to know each other.
Cool. So I'm a Michigan native, currently living in Brooklyn, New York. I'm currently going to school, study web development, doing app development and like that type of thing, programming. Originally grew up Southeast Michigan, like close to Detroit, and I studied at Western Michigan University, communications, film, TV, and Spanish, actually.
And so, it sounds like you had a kind of interesting background. You could probably teach me a thing or two about Spanish, but getting into the space of health. Getting into the space of health technology and really an emerging field. I think it's something that we're all just beginning to appreciate that we're really going to need to utilize going forward as an industry as a whole to help our patients. But I was curious, before you really, entered and began studying sort of to get into health technology, you had some of your own issues that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, definitely. And so basically, so my parents are chiropractors, and sort of health has been, on my radar for a long time, ever since I can remember. But it's one of those things where when you have it, everything's fine, like you don't really pay too much attention. Everything's going well. And when you don't, it's very, very obvious, and it's a huge detriment to how you want to live. I've had pretty good health my whole life. No major crazy issues. When I was young, I had some strep stuff. But that's pretty much it. Nothing crazy. I went to college, went through my party phase, and sort of that's when a lot of my issues started. I think a lot of people, that's when it begins, where you're not really like caring about what you eat, but you're drinking alcohol and high stress and low sleep. Those are huge triggers, but essentially that sort of, triggered what I later found out was the beginning of psoriasis. And that was sort of at the tail end of my college years. And then I worked on a feature film, and I hit it off with the cast and crew, and I ended up moving out to New York City to pursue those dreams. And long story short, I basically ended up working a night shift for 2 years. And the culmination of my health woes, I woke up in the morning, I went to the bathroom, and the next thing I know, I'm waking up with my girlfriend over me on the phone with an ambulance. And the first thing I say is, No, I'm fine. They don't need to come. We'll figure it out. And so,
of course you were saying that. Of course.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I think I'll walk to the hospital, or, you know, however I can get there. I don't need to pay for the ambulance to come. That's sort of what was on my mind. So I went into the hospital, and they basically found nothing wrong with me. I was pretty dehydrated. Ever since then, I basically made a stand and told myself, I'm going to figure this thing out, and, you know, I have to get my help in check, because this is crazy. This is ridiculous, you know?
Well, it's a, you know, remarkable story. And I love the fact, you know, the comments you made about sort of those college years. And I think you hit on all the major key things that, you know, we'll say most college kids will do. And it's be very stressed out, sleep poorly, eat lots of less nutritious food, throw in some substances and other, you know, sort of toxins. And it is a recipe for breaking down. And I tell people all the time, actually, you know, that's probably your most resilient stage. And for the people that don't suffer, I mean, it's quite a tremendous combination of factors that maybe you inherited some wonderful genetics to get you through. But, you know, that's a terrible recipe for health. And but oftentimes it can also be a period where the guidance and oversight of a physician working with such an individual is lacking. And so, you know, we can go sort of for many years and not have really good guidance, and maybe realize that the lifestyle is not sustainable and leading to troubles, but not having someone to support us through some changes and to maybe dig deeper into some underlying problems. And so, you know, I've personally, you know, decided for my career that going forward, I mean, that's a generation and children as a whole that I want to dedicate so much of my, you know, efforts towards, because, you know, you go and ask any sort of college kids, I'm asking myself, like, who's your primary care doctor? And I would say, well, like, go to student health. I guess, does that count? And right. it's just, you know, another, progression, another iteration of sort of acute care medicine. And so I appreciate you kind of sharing that. And it may sound, you know, on the surface like, well, that sounds pretty common and pretty simple, but it's incredibly relevant. And I think for someone like yourself and, you know, for a male in general, sort of a young male who, you know, otherwise we think we can kind of conquer the world at that age, and there's nothing really that can stop us. I think it's quite an act of courage to come forward and say, look, man, I needed to go search and find something, you know, a different way of living, because it just was not working for me. So kudos for stepping out and making that decision.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, because it's like worn sort of as a badge of honor. Like, look at how terrible I can treat myself and still like survive. And like, I think that's a great approach, if we can kind of get that message out to kids before they get into that stage that, hey, in 5 years, this is your body's going to say no, or, you know, whenever the weak link finally breaks, you know, it's going to be a different story. It's not going to be a badge of honor. You're going to have to live with that. So if we can get that message out, the sort of alternative, not like, or functional approach to living, then hey, I'm with you. However I can help.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's such a passion of mine, and hearing your story was one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, just to bring the realness, the sort of really authentic story to more people, to see, like, look, you know, on the surface there's nothing, you know, that seems super special about this, but this is so relevant. And there's, I know, plenty of people out there who've gone through similar sort of periods. And I know for myself, you know, college was where I broke down and sort of before beginning medical school. So I know full well and have lived through that and seen it. And so I think, you know, collectively we can really empower a movement. And, you know, it's inspiring, like I said, to sort of see, you know, what you've done in your own life, and kind of now where you've, you know, pursuing your education and career has kind of changed because of that passion.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's not always like a aha moment. You know, like there's signs and sort of symptoms leading up to the breakdown, but you just kind of keep going, you know?
Yeah, I have a couple, like, you know, analogies I tell people. One is, you know, some of us have to burn a little bit longer until that moment comes. And or maybe there is that sort of moment where you literally pass out in the bathroom. But, you know, maybe that you get to that breaking point and there's no other way to go.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, for myself, I definitely have to, like, I have to live that experience in order for it to stick, you know, in a way. So I had to, like, break down and my weak link is broken sort of at this point. And so it's like, okay, now it sort of makes sense for that experience to really, like, click for me. And I think that's sort of like how a lot of males will approach things, like sort of keep going until it all falls. But so sort of after that point, I decided to do a whole 30 with my girlfriend. And that was sort of like the beginning stages. I thought it was total BS at the time. And that sort of catapulted me to where I am now. I did a whole 30 with my girlfriend, and a whole 30 is just like an elimination diet where you're cutting out grains, sugar, alcohol, legumes, dairy, and like some additives and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, I think has become pretty popular, and, you know, and there's so many terms out there for, you know, different dietary approaches. People can come across paleo or the word sort of ancestral, and you know, various terms to describe that pattern of eating. And I think, you know, the Whole 30 and sort of, I guess it's the Hartwigs, they've done such a wonderful job sort of promoting it and building something to get people kind of started in this path, because like we said, information alone is not going to help solve all the issues. It's information plus action, and right, supporting one in those actions. And I think it's interesting that you know, kind of had that information and maybe didn't entirely believe in it, but were willing to do it anyway because of your, you know, the presence of your girlfriend. So I think that speaks to the need to support each other. And I was curious if you could share maybe a little bit about that process.
Yeah, I think my first thought was definitely like, this is crazy. And you know, you like food is love, food is all these different things to different people. And like, when you start talking about this sort of lifestyle openly to other people, you know, sometimes you can feel attacked. And I totally understand now, because, or I've understood since the beginning, because I had that same reaction of like, you know, this, sorry about that. Yeah, I had that same reaction that, you know, I felt like my food was being taken away, but it's an elimination diet. And ultimately you want to have the broadest diet that you can manage. So you just, it's for a short period of time, and then you introduce stuff back in, and that's where you find the experimentation and like what works for your body.
Exactly. And you know, that takes effort, right? It takes effort to sort of realize, you know, I need to start from this kind of base foundation, and yes, it's going to be restrictive with the idea and knowing that, look, we don't want to be, we want to, you know, at least for me as a physician and kind of prescribing dietary approaches, I want the individual to have a diet that is minimally restrictive as possible for them. And, you know, in order to get that information, we kind of have to start and do need to eliminate some things to begin with. And then you can reintroduce. It's not about this food's good, this food's bad. You know, we're starting to understand now in this sort of personalized medicine age, and looking into genetics, there's fascinating research. You know, Rob Wolf talks about it all the time, of these patterns of blood sugar and an insulin response to certain foods. And some people have a great response to cookies and a terrible response to bananas. And you look at that and you're like, what? How is, that makes no sense. Like, the banana is the good food and the cookie is the bad food. And it's just not that simple anymore. And, and you brought up a huge, a sort of elephant in the room too, and an amazing point about, we kind of put ourselves, we project ourselves in certain ways to certain foods. And then if we start to remove that, there's suddenly this mourning process that has to go on of like, how can I recover part of myself that I put into bread or I put into my pizza? And we don't really realize that that process is, maybe you need someone to help you along that, because it can be kind of chaotic of in a way, and aspects traumatic, and people get very upset or argumentative when you talk about you're taking away my Doritos or you're taking away X food. And so I think it's something that we need to discuss a little bit more kind of openly, because it is something that I think doesn't always get addressed when we just sort of say, oh yeah, you can just get rid of these foods and focus on these things, and not realize the emotional sort of cognitive piece that plays into it.
Yeah, I think it's huge. Yeah, definitely. But also, again, it's like this sort of badge of honor of like eating, look at all this like technically unhealthy, I don't want to say unhealthy, but like unnutritious food that I can eat. I eat cookies, I eat donuts, laden with sugar. And, that's like a badge of honor. Like, how unnutritious can I make this meal and still sort of like project that image out to the world? So I think it's sort of goes along with this like unhealthy lifestyle. And I don't know if it's American culture or I'm just not sure. Like, I kind of don't understand why that's like a badge of honor. But I think if we can try to change the conversation, you can still like live a fulfilling life without having to project that sort of image.
Yeah, I sometimes laugh when I think about some of the things that, and you probably do the same thing when you think about your college years or younger years and the things that you would do and sort of theoretically get away with and be okay. And I tell people all the time, it's sort of, I cloak it as my advice to my 18-year-old self. And it's essentially, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And, exactly.
You have the resilience. You'll probably be just fine doing that, and you'll learn maybe something from it. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. And getting rid of that sort of badge of honor and realizing that I want to really sort of nourish my body and provide it the nutrition it needs to really kind of flourish in all aspects of my life. And the concept of like a cheat meal, or the concept of, like you said, what can I get away with and still be okay? It just seems ridiculous to me now. It's like, it's kind of insane.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I think this is a good segue into like, I'm kind of thankful for my issues, my autoimmune issues. So like the psoriasis and sort of me passing out and hitting my head, it actually changed my life, in a way. And so, I always want to talk about the positives of chronic illness and disease.
Yeah, you bring up a tremendous good point. And I can sort of parallel the same thing in my life about sort of waking up and having that moment and so grateful that I was at least able to have some symptoms that finally spoke to me. And I was able to kind of get off that unsustainable track. And I'm seeing that we should be grateful for that information from our body telling us like, look, no, what you're doing right now is just, it's not working. And seeing symptoms as the body's response to attempting to figure it out. It's the body's, attempted an answer to some dysfunction. And suppressing those symptoms is basically suppressing the body's ability to figure out and try to improve that dysfunction. And so there's certainly a huge positive side to realizing we need to use symptoms to guide us to that root sort of cause and to improve our life. And You know, I guess we could certainly, I would love to kind of at this stage, like you had said, maybe segue into, you know, where did you turn sort of after the whole 30 and, you know, exploring some of these things of how food affected your health? You know, where did you turn to next to maybe kind of restore more of your health? Did you work with a, you know, family medicine doctor, or where did you go next?
So after whole 30, about a year passed, and I was doing like a paleo type template, like a 80-20 type thing, where I was eating like some grains and stuff every so often, but most of my meals were paleo. But yeah, I sort of just wanted to go it alone, and I stumbled upon the AIP, and I did that for like 4 months. And I didn't see the results I was hoping for, which is okay, but I learned a ton. I learned a lot, and that's what's important. And I commend anyone that has done autoimmune paleo or AIP, like more than that, or even at all. It's a really huge undertaking, but you learn a lot about food, about your body, about your immune system. And yeah, so I sort of went down that path, and I didn't see the improvements. And so I've just been doing sort of my own research, and then I finally pulled the trigger, and I was like, you know, I would like to work with a functional medicine practitioner. And I was listening to a lot of podcasts. Dr. Michael Ruscio, he's one of my favorites. So I went ahead and contacted him, we started working together, and yeah, so far it's been great. Just seeing sort of his process, and just trying to figure this out. I sort of think of my issues as like a big puzzle, and at a certain point, I got frustrated that I wasn't figuring this thing out. But now it's sort of more of like a puzzle, and I just have to find the right pieces that fit together.
Well, that's a wonderful story. And I love how, you know, you found Dr. Ruscio through the podcast. And I think it just speaks to this generation of, you know, how we are learning and getting new information, and it's being disseminated in so many different ways. And I mean, podcasts exploded in my life at sort of the same time when I was trying to figure out, you know, health and finding Chris Kresser. And at the time, you know, Ruscio was kind of a new guy on the scene, but I loved his work, and Rob Wolf and all these people, and just spending hours listening to podcasts and reading, because I you know, wanted to educate myself to, one, restore my health, but two, realize like I was going to apply this and found my calling in medicine. And so I'm, you know, incredibly grateful for the people that spend the time to put out that information at, you know, completely free, putting their effort and resources to providing that, so people can potentially be guided to solve their own puzzles, as you perfectly described. And
definitely,
you know, I'd love to maybe hear how, you know, what were sort of the things that you thought of in terms of finding the right type of, you know, functional medicine practitioner, you know, certain qualities. What were the things you were looking for in a practitioner in order to accelerate your healing journey?
Yeah, so I think number one, I'm actually not a huge proponent of just jumping right into working with a functional medicine practitioner, because I feel like you need to sort of experiment with your own body, and that's where a lot of learning comes in. Whereas when you work with a practitioner, you might sort of give up some of that responsibility for your own health. So I think it's important to, you know, N equals one, experiment with your own lifestyle and dietary needs. And then, you know, when you hit a wall, then I think it's a good time to start looking. And I think the first thing that you should do and trying to find someone to work with, a practitioner, is sort of outlining your emotional needs. I think that's really important. Like, do you need a lot of encouragement? Or are you like me? You might need a kick in the butt to get going. Will your personalities gel? I think that's a really key one. You want to feel supported by your practitioner. And it might actually inhibit your healing if you don't feel like they're giving you sort of the attention that you need. But it's definitely not as big an issue in the functional medicine space. They're definitely taking the time to really get to know you and understand your personal issues. There's a few other things that I think are really important when looking for a functional medicine practitioner to work with. One of those is definitely testing and money. Unfortunately, you can't really deny it. Like, it's not necessarily that functional medicine is cost prohibitive. It's that testing can be cost prohibitive. And you just want to find a practitioner that's conscientious about what you can afford, and somebody that's willing to work with you on that front. And they're definitely out there. I think Dr. Ruscio is a perfect example.
Yeah, I think Mike, I mean, he does a wonderful job in a lot of his, you know, podcasts and what he puts out, and trying to kind of change many aspects of how functional medicine is being practiced is a very, you know, test driven. And yes, you know, we want that information, but he's gathering it in very different ways. You know, I loved how, when I was able to kind of shadow and work with him, seeing how he would sort of gather information through prescribing kind of different dietary patterns for people over a period of 4 to 6 weeks. So maybe try a fasting period, try a elemental diet, or try, let's, you know, you have reflux symptoms, let's do a period of a low FODMAP, and let's, you know, do some core testing, but we don't really need to dig into the weeds yet. And so really trying to streamline an approach and help people without having that huge cost burden, because, you know, people can come in kind of desperate at the beginning of the game, and they're willing to kind of pay a lot of money for tests that maybe your spouse is being going to give you the definitive answer. So I think I'm really grateful for his pioneering that sort of push to make functional medicine more cost effective. And it sounds like, you know, in doing that, he's drawing people like yourself who resonate with that. And I was kind of curious, you know, what were there any potential, you know, downsides or things? You know, there's never everything that's perfect in medicine, but was there anything that you found to be kind of, you know, difficult? Or you mentioned the money as a kind of a challenging aspect, but anything that you found to be, you know, difficult in terms of, you know, seeing a physician kind of over telemedicine versus having an individual to work with one-on-one in person the entire time?
It's definitely a new experience. I mean, it's crazy how easy and simple it was, though. I mean, we schedule a date, we meet on Skype, and we sort of go over patient history and like supplements, diet, like what's going on. So we just sort of, I mean, it's like you're in the room with them. It's not really any different. You just are doing it from the comfort of your own home. It's actually kind of nice. In that regard, I think the one thing though is that, yeah, it would be nice to have a brick and mortar place to just go and like when you need to just drop by and sort of, just for small things, you know, that's the only downside really. But otherwise, the same testing, pretty much everything went pretty well.
Yeah. And you've already alluded to this earlier in the podcast as well, but I think we should certainly spend a little bit of time talking about some of the things you learned going through your health challenges, and then kind of, you know, having and working with Dr. Ruscio and kind of making these changes. What were some of the things that you kind of learned through that process and have built into the way you see the world now?
Yeah, so definitely one thing I learned from Dr. Ruscio is that, like, you know, if something's working, if your body's healing, you're going to know it. It's not going to be like a guess of like, huh, I wonder if this is working. Or, you know, like, it's not going to be like super subtle, you know, not that it's going to be like in crazy, like leaps and bounds of healing, but I think you're going to know when you're healing. So if you're on a certain diet, and you don't see results in a few weeks and a couple weeks, then, you know, maybe it's time to switch it up. And it's really hard for us as lay people. there's a lot of information and misinformation. So, you know, we get these diets and we hear people having results and we sort of want that same thing. So we just stick with it, even though we're not getting the results we're looking for. So I think that's a big one, is switch it up. Don't be afraid to try new things with your body. Let's see what else. Yeah. I've learned a ton. I mean, I think one of the points that we wanted to touch on is just like preparing for your first visit. So when you finally find someone that you gel with, I think it's important to come to them with a symptom priorities. You know, if we came to a doctor and we literally laid out every issue that we have, it would take forever. And, you know, it might be like too much information. So
I'll just put a plug in there and say, yeah, it can be a little overwhelming from the other side of things.
Totally. Yeah. So come up with your own priority list, 1, 2, 3, up until, you know, what you think is right. And just think about your history, you know, what sort of diets you've tried in the past, any past protocols like herbals or, you know, that type of thing. And like, what did your body respond to? So I think that's really sort of important to lay out before you find a practitioner, or when you find a practitioner, you know, for your first visit, to just prepare, make it easy on them. You know, don't like make them do guesswork and like overload them with information. Make it concise.
I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, hey, I'm trying to help you guys out. I mean, if they're happy, you're happy, and, you know, and it goes on in a good direction. One other thing that I wanted to point out is that, you know, I think it's really important to set attainable goals and communicate those from the start. So, like, when I first met with Dr. Ruscio, we sort of did all of our patient uptake stuff, and then I sort of laid out like, hey, this is sort of what I want to accomplish, and, you know, here's my goals. And so I think that's important to lay that out, like, so you have, you know, goals from the beginning.
You bring up so many wonderful things, and I'm very grateful that you've shared this, and the fact that you've had those insights along the way is tremendous. And I really hope people can resonate with a few of those ideas and bring them to whatever setting. It doesn't have to be, you know, with a functional medicine doctor. I mean, but bring in those, you know, key points and understanding of that. Look, my life might be a little overwhelming. And if I just, you know, have put everything out there in one visit and expect it all to be solved, or let me just put it entirely in the practitioner's court, you know, that's can be just a little nearsighted. And, you know, in the end, you won't actually be helped in the way that you're hoping for. And, you know, I think you brought up a good point too of, you know, let's have a good baseline to start with. And if you come in sleeping 5 hours a night and, you know, eating a just very minimally nutritious diet, and your life is just full of, you know, many, many stressors, and you're not doing any sort of meditation or don't have any dedicated sort of stress management practice, and you're not exercising. You know, if all of those things are you know, out of balance, and you come and seek, you know, my help, like, I'm not even going to really bother doing much testing at the beginning, because that's, I mean, things are going to be messed up. You're telling me clinically with your symptoms that there's dysfunction, and let's work on the foundation before we, you know, we dig in. And, but that takes work, right? And you sort of say, like, look, I needed to experiment some, initially to get some answers, give some information, so that in collaborating and working with a physician, it was actually going to be a good partnership. And I wasn't just going to completely pass the buck. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a team, and you guys, and that's why it's important to lay out your goals, because then, you know, it's out in the open, and you guys are working towards those together.
Well, I think, you know, I would love to kind of move us and towards a closure in this podcast, talking about, you know, we mentioned a little bit about that health technology in the beginning, and you've shared so much of your story to date, and really appreciate this sort of kind of that degree of vulnerability. And you know, I think embedded in there, we've talked quite a bit beforehand, was this idea of this path through restoring your wellness actually leading you to change careers, because you realized, you know, what you were doing before maybe wasn't truly nourishing you. And I know for myself, yes, I was in medicine. I was in medical school, and I didn't have this super radical change, but I mean, I found functional medicine and ancestral health, and completely changed sort of, you know, how I envisioned myself practicing. But, you know, kind of going through a period of suffering and illness, and then redirecting your studies and your career and in a completely different way. And I think your story is one that illustrates that quite well, and brings me hope to sort of see that we can sort of support our wellness. And once again, there's positives to these periods of illness or suffering.
Yeah. In fact, I think it really makes us who we are. And I mean, I wouldn't give up my experience so far, you know, with dealing with my health issues. I just wouldn't do it, because it's who I am. So I think, yeah, definitely going back to this, like, we just got to think positive about that. And yeah, so it sort of changed my trajectory, and I decided to go back to school and study how to program. And currently I'm developing an app that's a simple food journaling app for those of us who are working with practitioners or are trying to find out sort of potential triggers with what we're eating. And so, yeah, it's a simple food journaling app, and you sort of just are tracking what you're eating, and it's sort of taking into account also your symptoms, and, you're relating your symptoms to the food that you're eating, and it's sort of giving you a list of potential triggers. So it's taking a lot of the guesswork out. And also, I know you and I talked about this. It's great to be able to pass along what you're eating digitally to your practitioner. They can look and say, you know, you're eating on course, and you know, this is what we're looking for. So that's what I've been working on. I'm pretty excited to get it out. It's a lot of work though. It's tough.
It's certainly, I mean, the programming stuff, it goes way over my head, but you know, I'm just appreciative for people like yourself, you know, pursuing that path and creating these really, you know, functional and relevant applications. I know, you know, for me, I want that information, and I want to see, you know, the quality. Let's focus on, you know, the quality of your nutrition first. Because, you know, realistically, there's some other great apps that, you know, help to calorie count and, yes, kind of do, will tell me exactly what you're putting in your mouth. And, you know, that can still be, you know, can be more time intensive and initially anyway, and in broad strokes, I wanted to see the quality. And I think, you know, the early forms of your app that you've sent me, you know, really focus on that is what sort of overall, I don't want to know like 2 teaspoons of XYZ. I just want to know what, you know, what are you putting, you know, what are you eating in general? And then start to build that awareness of, you know, the environment in which you ate it, or specific foods, and correlating that to symptoms or how you felt later, and being able to go back and see, because, you know, things aren't always, you know, super linear. You won't necessarily eat something and then 30 minutes later feel terrible. You know, yes, that's a good sign that maybe that was a sort of incompatible food.
That's a bad choice. Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there's other things that are more nuanced that like an app like yours will help to elucidate. And like you said, real time sort of being able to show your practitioner, hey, look, these are the types of breakfasts and things that I'm eating, and not getting stuck in the weeds of, you know, measuring and counting and needed to record all of that. Yes, there's a time and place for that, but at least initially let's focus on quality. And I think your app is doing it's going to do a great, you know, service for people to help facilitate that process.
Yeah. Like, we can let the biohacking people have their apps and they're doing the keto and all this stuff. And let's just focus on, yeah, the quality over quantity. And let's at least make sure we're heading in the right direction before we start worrying about teaspoons and tablespoons. I totally agree. So I'm really excited to get this out. And, you know, anybody listening, there's a lot of avenues to get into this space. And one of them is programming. It could be, you know, anything. You do video work, you do, you know, marketing. So there is a lot of avenues to work in the space of functional medicine. You just have to sort of be creative. And if it's your passion, then hopefully you find a way to make it work. I am. and maybe one day I'll try to practice medicine, but for now I'm gonna do this programming thing, and hopefully that will lend its way to my dream of practicing medicine, you know?
It's so well said. I mean, I've gotten many questions from folks about, you know, who have sort of seen the journey I've taken in medical school and see, like, was that, you know, should I go to medical school? Is that, you know, the right path? And I say, it is a path. It is certainly a path, but by no means is it the only path. And actually, realistically, there's probably many other ways that you can help facilitate the restoration of others' wellness and flourishing that might be, you know, better. And we'll just obviously say will involve less money overall than medical school. So to think you need MD after your name to help people is once again quite nearsighted. And so I'm just glad that, like I said, you're sharing the story of recognizing, look, I don't have to give up that dream of maybe pursuing medicine or realizing there's so many ways that I can help, and living that is the most important thing. So thank you.
Definitely. Yeah. No problem at all. And, I don't know, I might, at some point I'll probably be looking for beta testers. And so I'll give my email, and, you know, anyone that has any questions at all, go ahead and reach out to me, whether it's, you know, about functional medicine, working with a practitioner, or my app. I guess I could just do that now. You can email me.
Yes, please. Cause we're going to have it on the podcast page, but please, cause I was going to say, as soon as you get a version out, I am going to want to share that with people and put it to test. So, share away.
Cool. Yeah. So you can reach me at mk.etlinger@gmail.com. That's mk.etlinger@gmail.com.
Wonderful. And, you know, you already know this is coming because, you know, we've kind of talked about it before, but I always like to close my conversations with a very open-ended sort of a period where I let my guests share kind of one final piece of insight or a story or something that they really feel will resonate with our audience. And so I offer you this space, knowing you can share anything or nothing, but is there any last piece of your story or wisdom that you'd like to share with folks before we go?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your health, even though you are hitting a wall. I'd just say to keep at it, and hopefully everything's going to work out and everything's going to click.
Well, thank you, Mike. This really was a lot of fun. So grateful that you reached out. many months ago when I was on Richo's podcast, and I just have grown a friendship, and I am just, like I said, very thankful for our friendship and for you to share this story. And I hope people, like I said, if you're listening, please reach out to Mike and connect and share. He's got so much wisdom and can really help sort of facilitate your path and beginning on perhaps doing a Whole 30 or following a paleolithic style kind of diet. And so I thank you so much for doing this, and perhaps one day we'll get to meet in person.
Yeah, that would be great. Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, have a great day, Mike. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your presence and willingness to receive a new narrative, a passionate perspective, and perhaps a deeper sense of connection with our collective purpose. Please share this podcast with any and all that you believe will benefit from its intention to relieve one's doing and engage one's being. Please share your comments about the conversation on our podcast page and leave a review in iTunes so that the voices in this space can spread to all ears ready to receive it. Music credit goes to Dillingham for their song Vessel. Remain open, stay curious, and forever be love. You walked on fire. And I know you tried.